Welcome to the Knock Soccer Podcast, where we tell the soccer stories of our favorite big town, little city, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Patrick Teasdale.
And I'm Brian Gabriel Canever.
So good to hear that again. On today's episode, we are back in the studio, just hanging out for a bit, chatting about the one Knox season, checking in on the women's high school season, and just catching up. Brian, how you been? What you been up to these days?
Man, I have been up to a lot, or at least my hands have felt full with a lot, because on September 16th, the night of Hispanic Heritage Night for One Knoxville, I had to cancel because we had another baby. And so we had baby number three, Elio Andres. Some of our listeners, soccer fanatics, may pick up the reference there in the name. And, you know, he came about a month early. So we weren't expecting him when he came. The night before, I actually made my color commentary debut for the Lady Vols. Our good friend Tori Bueller-Watson gave me a call in August and asked if I would cover her for that game. And so I did. I got to call the Arkansas game. Sadly, our Lady Vols lost 3-1, but it was good to be reunited with Andy Brock, who I did commentary with last year for One Knox. And then the next morning at 6 a.m., we went into the hospital, had a baby. He was in the NICU for 9 days because of some respiratory issues, but he's a tough little kid. And so he got out of the NICU. I was able to get back and call or do the PA for One Knoxville's do or die matchup against the Richmond Kickers, which we can discuss in a little bit. Didn't go the way we wanted it to. And yeah, I've been managing the two bigger kids, Alba and Enzo. And it's funny, I keep saying the big kids to other people. And I'm like, well, Alba is 3.5. Enzo's 1.5. Like, I have three kids under the age of 4 right now. So people, you know, forgive what you're about to hear as I kind of ramble on about what's happening in the soccer world. Because I really have not been, my brain truly shuts off at like 9 p.m. Haley and I have tried to watch shows. We've been watching Watchmen on HBO Max, and I think we've fallen asleep every single episode that we've tried to watch. I've been trying my best to keep up, but it's been a slog. What about you, Patty? What have you been up to?
All right, Brian. Well, yes, I was able to cover the PA for you for the Greenville match, which I'm so thankful that Elio is here and healthy, but that Greenville match sucked. it was just not fun being up in that PA booth, and everyone in that PA booth, everyone in those seats and stands are cheering the boys in blue on, and it's just tough. And I got into the rhythm of finally being doing the PA and really enjoyed it. And I just wish the boys in blue kind of got into a better rhythm this season. For me, my wife is actually pregnant, so we are expecting our first child in the 1st of February. So you had your third kid. I got one kid on the way. I mean, we're a good portion of the way of fielding a whole soccer team, you know, the whole Knox Soccer Podcast squad, you know,
we could get a futsal team together basically.
Yep,
at this rate.
Yep. So let's do it. And so we went for the anatomy scan and, you know, checking the heartbeat, and it's great. And then they just like pop on over, they're measuring everything. And I just see a foot. And it's like, that's my boy. He's a boy. So, and just seeing a footprint, I was just like, I was already in tears. And then we went to his hands, and his face popped up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So to go off of that, since I first saw his foot, I think he's going to be a striker, just calling it right now. Brian, what about you? What is Alba and then Enzo and then Elio? What positions are they playing?
So Alba has been doing the One Knox Monsters.
Nice.
I don't even know that you could call it youth soccer. It's like toddlers just running around and, you know, there are four coaches who are trying to organize them. So Alba actually just wrapped up her Monsters season, and she has the Jamboree this weekend. We're recording on Tuesday, October 17th. And that it's been fun. You know, I think I've had high hopes for her before she was even born. We hung a poster of Alex Morgan in her room. We bought her all the women's soccer books. She's got the alphabet based on women's soccer players book. She's got another painting of the legends of U.S. women's national team soccer.
That's awesome.
So she's had some pressure on her shoulders. She does Love Megan Rapinoe, especially when her hair is pink. Though I can say she's probably a far cry from being ready to suit up for the Stars and Stripes. She's doing all right. I can't tell what position she's going to be yet. She might be a bench player based on the performances we've seen the past couple of weeks. Maybe a super sub. But Enzo, man, Enzo is not even two, so he couldn't play in for the Monsters. But he walks onto the field and starts kicking the balls while the coaches are giving the kids instructions. He's a little That's maniac. Awesome. So my grandfather always said that the craziest players are always the left wingers, and at least in Argentina, that proves to be true. You know, Angel Di Maria, who scored a goal in each of Argentina's recent championship wins in the World Cup final and the Copa America final and in the Finalissima final. He's a left winger by nature, and he's nuts on the field. And so I think Enzo might be a left winger. He's going to be tiny too. He might be a little tank. He might be more of a rugby player than a soccer player. So I don't know. And then Elio, I don't know what Elio's going to be up to. He's a shrimp, man. He's definitely not going to be in goal. He's definitely I think we got back our percentages, and you know, Alba and Enzo were both in like the 90th percentile plus for everything. Enzo is kind of on the short side, but like Alba, her head size was like, they didn't even have a chart that could, you know, capture her head size. Alba's head at 3.5 is the same size as Haley's head at almost 29 years old. Awesome. truly, we have a the Canavers are big headed people. But Elio, he's like 2%. And of course he was a preemie and a NICU baby, but he's like 2% in height, 3% in weight, 1% in head size. So, whatever the tiniest position on the field's going to be, that'll be him. Maybe he'll hide in the shadow of like the hulking center forward. He'll be like a supporting striker or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
We'll see.
We will surely see. And yeah, whatever season of the Knock Soccer podcast is when our kids are actually out on the field and going off to college and then getting their call up to the national team, we'll be sure to talk about it here. But before that, let's go ahead and get into it. The One Knox season this past Saturday, One Knoxville SC has completed its first season in the USL 1 with a record of 9 wins, 11 draws, and 12 losses. We finished 8th overall, 2 spots shy of the playoffs. Ay caramba. personally, this season, it's been like a short-lived roller coaster. There was so much hype coming out of the last season and energy off of that playoff run. I mean, we didn't get as far as we wanted, but it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of passion. There was a lot of energy. So I was ready to ride that wave again. But soon after the first couple of games, man, it was evident that spark wasn't there. And my mind quickly went to my days at UT, the early 2000 fall mentality, where we have so much potential, but we always blow it. And unfortunately, the One Knoxville season kind of just stayed that way. Brian, what are your inaugural thoughts? That's a weird way to say it. What are your thoughts overall of the season? Do you agree with me in the early 2000s Vol mentality?
So in the early 2000s, I was actually, you know, up in New Jersey, and I think my family's from Argentina, so I didn't really grow up with American football, but I watched the Syracuse Orange Men, another Orange team. And I remember they beat up on Rutgers once when I was watching them on the box TV in my grandmother's house. And I was just like, I'm a Syracuse fan. So I traded oranges by the time I got a little older. I've only read the history of Vols football during that time, so I didn't get to experience it. But I did come in the Kevin Dooley era. I guess that was 2011 and 12. So I've felt the suffering for as long as I've been in Knoxville. I would say a short-lived roller coaster. It's probably a good analogy for it. I think it was just really deflating to have a team that was really exciting to watch last year, performed well. I think for me, being Argentinian and really like having this love and affinity for creative, free play and just really innovative, inventive soccer, right now Brazil and Uruguay are playing a World Cup qualifier, and Brazil, their coaches from Fluminense, which plays this, soccer, some people have called it relationism. So in stark contrast to that European model that's so system-based, you know, it's all about relationships between the players. It's a lot of trickery. It's a lot of getting out of formation so that you can connect with other players on the field, pass the ball in tight spaces, kind of like what you see on pickup soccer, small-sided games. And so that's what I really enjoy. And, you know, last year the team was really exciting, but it was still very system-based. This year the team is very system-based and it wasn't exciting at all. And it hurts to say that, man. I'm wearing my One Knox jersey right now as I'm speaking. I wore my hoodie today out. You know, people have asked me before, they're like, they've seen me at like the YMCA in Powell and they're like, "Oh, are you a One Knox player?" I'm like, "Oh gosh, no, like you do not understand the fitness level of soccer players if you think I am a professional soccer player." It's been dispiriting for somebody who really wants this team to be successful. This is our club, you know? And I think because of that, it's like sometimes I've heard the phrase that like, it's best to criticize when you're inside of the house, not outside of it. And this is our club and we want it to do well. And we want, you know, our coaching staff, McKeever and company, and our players, and the ownership to do really well, because we need this to succeed in our city. And it's just felt, it's been hard to watch a team that offensively has not clicked, has, you know, lost a fan favorite in Sebastian Andreas and brought in two players I was really excited about, and Rodolfo Castro and Giovanni Calixtro, who we had on the podcast, but even they didn't make much of an impact. Our leading goal scorer was Jake Keegan with 6 goals. And I think 5 of those came in like the first 6 or 7 games of the season. So we were just not exciting to watch up in the PA booth, you know. Whoever was up there with me, probably anybody whose seats were close to the PA booth probably heard me screaming through the windows, in frustration sometimes when we'd, you know, get close to the box and instead of taking a shot, we just pass it backwards, pass it sideways. Didn't see any players.
That was the most annoying thing. Ugh.
Yeah. Like I was begging somebody take a player on, you know, I'm like, come on, you guys are professional soccer players, dribble at somebody, you know, I suck. And yet anybody who's seen me on the field at the Sansom Sports Complex or at Fuse before, it's just like, I don't know why this guy's trying to dribble at me because he doesn't have much. But, you know, you got to have that, like, that spirit. And you just didn't see a lot of it this season. You know, so it was just rough when your greatest offensive weapon was your right back, Derek Waldeck, who, you know, sent in, or, you know, Jamesy Thomas, when he was injured a lot, but we know he's an attacking, you know, wing back in McKeever's system and sends in a lot of crosses. Waldeck, I think statistically, was second in crosses sent in this season among all players. He had the most opportunities or most chances created for One Knox. And, you know, he's a defensive player just sending in crosses. And we were tied for the lowest scoring team this season with the last place team, Central Valley Fuego. And so things didn't go well offensively. So that was just a bummer, you know, especially because we wanted to see more games. You know, me and you, obviously we're biased. We're here in Knoxville. We want to go to the games.
Yep.
We want to interact with the players and coaches. We want to hear the fans cheering. We want to see the scruffs shooting their flames up in the air, the flares. You know, my daughter loved seeing the flares go off. And you know, with that draw against Richmond, come from behind draw for them, it really felt like that took the air,
that was it.
Yep. The air out of us. And then of course we went to North Carolina and blew it there when we could have had a strong end to the season. Of course, North Carolina finished second. So yeah, it's just tough when you look at the last 5 games and you see, you know, 3 losses and 2 ties when it was, you know, the blade up against your throat and you just needed to do something. So yeah, that was rough, man.
Yeah, it was really rough. Another thought on One Knox is I just wasn't really like from the season prior. We were this high press, you know, Gangnam press type of Liverpool team. But this team, we just kind of became like the down and dirty team. Like there are so many yellows, so many reds. We're not afraid to take you out and down, which it is totally sucked. My wife and I absolutely hated it. But balancing that, if we had scored the goals and we were still the scrappy down and dirty team, I feel like I could get be okay with that, but it just sucked. You know, it was like, oh, we're just going to pull you down, get you on the ground and wrestle instead of score goals, which just, was so deflating. Like, I mean, there was times where I was just like, I want to leave the stadium.
Yeah, I hear you. It was tough. Now, I think some of our listeners, especially those who may be more attuned to the refereeing quality in the league some changes that happened before the start of the season with what referees were going to be available. You know, there were some cards that I saw in different games and was like, wow, really? You know, the referee quick to his pocket. But, you know, disregarding that, when you go on the USL League One stats site and you see right there in the discipline category for yellow cards, Jalen Chrysler and Jordan Skelton are two center backs tied for the league lead with 12 yellow cards each. And then in tied for fourth place, Angelo Kelly Rosales with 10 yellow cards. And so
not a surprise.
You know, we that's a total of 34 yellow cards among three players. That's really tough to read. And then, you know, Angelo Kelly had two red cards this season. Rodolfo Castro had one. Giovanni Calixto had one. You know, it's tough to watch it. And, you know, obviously players get frustrated. Sometimes you have to commit a hard foul. And maybe, like you said, you can be more forgiving of that if you see better performances. But just looking at some more statistics, you know, our passing leader for the season was our center back, Jordan Skelton, with 1,500 passes. And so that's not a great indicator of the style of soccer that we viewed when, you know, the ball's going forward just to go backwards and have your center back just redistribute it.
Yeah.
That
was the bit. Like every single time my wife and I were just screaming, like, take the shot, like go, like just,
The only player that did take shots was Callum Johnson, who was a regular substitute. He's the only player that ranks among, you know, the top 35 in the league for shots taken. He took 29 shots this season. But, you know, you look at the top player with shots. That was Christian Chaney from Forward Madison with 87. We just didn't have players that took shots on goal. And, you know, we don't have anybody in any of those top attacking categories that's represented. And, you know, how could we, when you consider that we were joint last for goals scored? And, you know, like we're about to get into, Patty, we were talking about this before we started. It's kind of jarring when you consider that we also had the best goalkeeper in the league, Sean Lewis, who was named, he was named the Scruffs player of the season. He was given the golden glove, basically unstoppable in goal. You know, he was second in the league in clean sheets, he was tied for fourth in the league in clean sheets. He had 8 total. He was third in the league in saves. It was really hard to get past him. And defensively, our team, you know, we saw those yellow cards, but defensively we look strong, and it's just hard. It's really hard when you're losing games 1-0.
Yep.
You know, you got to give them some help. And when you look at the scores for the last couple of games of the season, you know,
we
lost 1-0 to Tormenta, who was one of our playoff competitors, lost 1-0 to Greenville at home. You know, and then in the last 3 games, we did a little better. We lost 2-1 to Charlotte, we tied 1-1 with Charlotte, tied 2-2 with Richmond, and lost 2-1 to North Carolina. So,
yeah.
Thank God for Sean Lewis, though. I hope he stays.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll get into that of who stays and what needs to change. I will have to say I applaud the front of house of One Knox. Going to the game was still a fun experience. What I brought friends and new fans to One Knox, and they enjoyed it. But when the product on the field doesn't impress, and also, one of Mark McKeever's big points is it doesn't entertain. Like it just dragged on, you know. So that's, I feel like that was the disappointing thing for me, of just like the entertainment just wasn't there. You know, we became the like I said before, the down and dirty team, and I'm like, that's not what I wanted to come here and watch.
Yeah, but so we have Sean Lewis as a positive for the season.
Yep.
We have, you know, fans turning out for games. We saw big attendance figures, and we saw lots of wonderful stuff put on by the fan experience folks and the whole team behind One Knox. I mean, this is the debut professional season.
Yep.
And there's obviously a learning curve, but I think when you went out to games, you saw a product that that was good. If you know, you're a business person, which I'm not a business person, but you know, the owners of this club, they are all successful businessmen. You know, they want people to come away with a memorable, you know, family-friendly experience, something that everyone can enjoy. You saw all the kids running around, especially there at Regal Soccer Stadium, home of the Lady Vols. There's that hill, the Bream, where, you know, I think you spent your birthday there. Yep. My family was usually there watching games. And so
I want to say best seats in the house. Like, for anyone listening that wasn't able to get out to a match or whatnot, just come day of, get a general admission ticket and go hang out on the hill, which are these two little mounds on the opposite side. It's super cool. You get to see all the fans, you get to see the whole bench and everything, and you just get to enjoy yourself, get the sunset. It's a great place to be and enjoy a, you know, Saturday or a Friday night with some good old footy. It's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, another positive, which happened off the field, is, you know, like most soccer clubs around the world, you're not just a competitive team. You don't just have the first team. We have the academy teams, the youth teams that have been competing. You know, we finally saw the debut of Leo Santos,
a 16-year-old
Brazilian American who plays for Alcoa and has been playing with the academy team. We saw him come on against Richmond. I would have preferred to see him much earlier in the season. You know, when you've got a 16-year-old attacking player played in the Nashville sides and, you know, and you can't score goals, your attacker's just, you know, it's just not working out. Gosh, throw the kid in, you know,
at least
I work in PR from a PR perspective, you know, throw this kid in and give the fans something to cheer for with a local player playing. And so we did get to see him debut, which was great. I hope we can, you know, keep hold of Leo, because I'm sure the future is only bright for him. And so off the field, you know, you had the One Knox Collective, you had the Goals for Good campaign. I loved announcing that every game, having
these charities
and nonprofit organizations that the club supports. It's a shame when you're, you know, Goals for Good, you give money based on the goals you score and you don't score a lot of goals. So that's that stuff, but still partnering with these local organizations, has been wonderful. I've enjoyed it. You know, we had the Pet Safe mascot, we had Sweeper, and Jojo, his handler who works for the club. That was, you know, that was really great.
That's super cool
this season. So, there was some great community stuff happening, even if the soccer wasn't always the most entertaining.
Yep. And also, I mean, I have to applaud Ren and team. The merch was on lock. It was incredible. I feel like every month or so there was something new to buy or to collect. And, you know, like we said, when they first debuted the crest, like, it is a very Knoxville centric crest and logo. And so they got to do a lot of different renditions. And everyone was able to, you know, get their own flavor of it, you know, from pride to, you know, the more military inspired camo, you know, that type of stuff, you know, the full pink kit, you know. I think that was the cool thing of, like, it wasn't just we had one home kit, like we traded out. So there was the pink kit, the sunrise kit, the blue kit. It was super cool to see all those.
Yeah, it definitely was. The merch was on point. I picked up a couple of those pieces. You know, I'm kind of awaiting the counterfeit market when that opens up. So my Latino brothers and sisters, when you guys start, you know, making the counterfeit versions that sell for half the price, I'm looking forward to those, because you know, with three kids and a NICU bill now that I got to pay, $90 jerseys kind of pricey.
Yeah.
But I mean, we do have like the legit Hummel jerseys, so you know, those look great. But Patty, so now season's over. We've got 4 or 5 months off before the season kicks off again. League One's going into the playoffs right now through the beginning of November. What would you like to see for One Knox next year, or what are some things that you know, expect for the off season period?
It's a great question. I mean, on my list here, I said goal scorers, and then I'm like, you know, is it a new approach? Question mark. I don't know if it is time to open the can of worms of, oh, is that a new approach? Meaning like gaffer change. But I think we're just so new, and this is our first run at it. I'm sure Mark McKeever is going to be here for a while. But I at least acknowledge it. I'm sure some scruff or scruffs or, you know, someone's chatted about it. But yeah, goal scorers. And I think, you know, I was kind of, I don't know if I was going to turn on the playoffs, but I think I'm going to keep an eye on the playoffs just for those playmakers and goal scorers, because I'm sure the team is looking, you know. I'm sure they'll be maybe not a I would say healthy rotation, or at least, you know, a couple trades here and there, just to bring in that that spice, that that extra spark that we need. So I guess thinking about it as I'm processing out loud, a majority of the team to stay, just to have that core team, and so that we, when it's match one of the 2024 season, we can, it's familiar enough, but then also inspiring those people to stay, and then also bringing in some people that, look, this is, they're going to run out some guys, you know, they're going to dribble a four, and they're going to lose the ball, or it's going in the net. Like, I'm totally ready for that risk. And so, yeah, talking to the club, and if the club's listening, be risky, get risky, go for it. Like, I'd rather more shots on goal and dribbling at people than passing it to the back and redistributing.
Yeah, that's, you know, what's so hard, man, is that you want continuity, and you want these players who fans have formed relationships with to stay. Like, one of the beautiful things this season was at the end of games, win, lose, or draw.
Yep.
The gaffer and his staff and the players were out there signing autographs, and you saw dozens of kids after every game wanting to get signatures, talking to these players. You know, these guys are pros, or in a way, the first heroes that a lot of these people will make, that a lot of these young players will make. But again, this is a professional soccer team, and so you're going to see turnover. This is also the third division. You know, you see a lot of turnover in League One. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I think that we saw a little bit of a ruthless streak with cutting Sebastian Andreasen, who, you know, even though he wasn't scoring goals at the beginning of the season, was a fan favorite coming in from last year, and he came and went. So who knows who sticks around and who we lose. I think a lot of the players were on 1-1 contracts. A couple of them had 2-year contracts from some of the murmurs that I overheard. So we'll see what happens. I know that Mark McKeever mentioned that he wanted to bring in players who weren't just here for the short term. He wanted to build a team, and we know culture is very, very important to him. So who knows what it'll look like. I know that I'm going to eagerly be waiting for that weekly email and for the Twitter account and Instagram to update to let us know what's going on in terms of personnel ahead of 2024.
I'm excited for the next season as much as the season is over and we're not in the playoffs. I'm excited for the next one and to see what the club drums up off the field and on the field. This episode is brought to you by Markman's Diamonds, Knoxville's choice for diamonds and fine jewelry since 1976. Visit markmansdiamonds.com, as well as Union Place Bar and Grill, your family-friendly spot to enjoy the beautiful game, delicious food, and live music in Knoxville. Visit unionplacebar.com. All right, Brian, let's shift gears. There is more soccer, and this is the Knox Soccer Podcast. And let's get over to high school soccer. The women's season is winding down, so let's pull up the standings and see what the headlines are. And I see that you have plenty of notes here, so I'm going to kick it over to you, Brian. What's happening over in the high school women's game?
Man, so much, Patty. You know, it's been tough because we were without our high school correspondent, Carter Moore, this season. You know, we've been encouraging our listeners and, you know, doing different calls for support and for sponsorship so that we could put on special segments like High School Game of the Week. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that this season, so we didn't get a reporter out to the games like Carter was. But still, you know, high school soccer kicks on. Bearden is continued. I mean, undefeated again this season, even without Brinley Murphy. Who, shout out to local product, to hometown hero Brinley Murphy, who's playing over at South Carolina and scored her first goal of the season against Jacksonville earlier this season. She's
way to go, Brinley.
Yeah, representing K-Town over in Columbia, South Carolina. So good on you, Brindley. But yeah, if you look at the rankings of the top teams in the Knoxville area, we've got Bearden at number one, 16-0-1. Only tie is to Albertus Magnus, the New York State champions, which came down here to Knoxville and, you know, challenged wow. Bearden for the crown, but they didn't take it. So that's, yeah. Huge. And then, you know, the other top teams, if you look at the top five for Knoxville teams, you've got Webb, 12-3-1. They're the second best team in the Knoxville area, according to Max Preps. You've got West in at number three, 12-5-2. Farragut, number four, 11-4-2. And then Oak Ridge in number five, 12-2-2. You know, to talk about Bearden for a second, they are currently the number two ranked team in the state, number three ranked team in the nation. Like I said, the only blemish on their record is that 1-1 draw to the New York State champs. And it's very possible we see a third straight state championship go their way in just a couple of weeks. Among Bearden's wins have been, you know, some eye-popping victories, a 10-0 drubbing of Catholic, an 8-0 blanking of Pal. I think I say Pal, but people told me it's Pal. It's just supposed to be
Pal.
One syllable, Pal. 5-0 over their rivals at West Farragut, and then 6-0 and 3-0 wins over West High School. So, man, they've just been on fire. The other teams that we mentioned are, you know, Webb, West, and Farragut. And then when you go down into Class 1 AA, so a division below, you've got Gibbs ranked number 18 with an 11-3-1 record. You know, they're probably the favorites to win the district. And then you've got Alcoa, which is ranked in Class 1A, despite having a losing record, 6-7-2. They are the number 7 ranked team. Those are the Alcoa Lady Tornadoes. So I know they've had a couple of close ones. They had a tough 1-0 loss to Maribel and a 1-0 loss to Catholic as well. So those Knoxville teams are out there representing. And I think our best hope for another state championship to see some more gold in Knoxville is probably Bearden. I mean, goodness, I don't know how early I could put in a transfer for Alba. Again, she may be, maybe I have a higher chance if I get her in as like a, you know, a stats person in there, because I don't know. She's only 3.5, but man, I've been a little bummed out. But, you know, Bearden is just, gosh, representing for Knoxville. Such a
awesome,
entertaining program. And if anybody's been out there, they've got a grass field. You know, I haven't been there this season, but I believe they still have a grass field, and it's just so special playing on grass, especially when you've seen so many knee injuries to female players who are really at risk on turf for those ACL injuries. So Bearden's got a beautiful field. They've got a beautiful system of support. We've seen the families that go out there, the network, you know, you hear people talking about Bearden girls soccer, and they don't got girls on the team. You know, it's just that's how much it means to people out there. Yeah, Bearden's doing great. And then those other West Knoxville teams, the Farraguts and the West are also representing Webb in the private school, among the private schools. So yeah, some great stuff happening in high school soccer.
That's awesome. All right, let's go back to Regal Soccer Stadium for the Lady Vols, which big power T SEC emblem on the field. So thank you, Lady Vols, for allowing One Knox to play there. But let's check in with the Lady Vols. We had Joe Kirk on giving you a preview of the season. How's it going so far, Brian?
So it's been tough for the Lady Vols. They had a great start to the season. And then, you know, I think starting with that 3-1 loss to Arkansas, things have been kind of tough for them. So they're 6-4-4. Overall, their most recent games have been back-to-back losses, 1-0 on the road to LSU, 2-1 at home to Georgia, obviously 6-4-4 record. They're unranked right now. They're almost certainly out of the running for a fourth straight SEC East title. Right now, it looks like that's going to go Georgia's way. Of course, they've got three regular season games left to try and right the ship and get some good seeding for the SEC tournament. We will see them in action again at home to Texas A&M on October 22nd. So in case this episode goes out after that, that's the next home game on the record. Texas A&M is currently leading the SEC West. So there's been some bright spots there for the Lady Vols. You know, of course, there's been some tough stuff too, because we've had lots of starters. Lots of big players go out with knee injuries, including Jada Thomas, a star striker, who is really the danger woman, that talismanic player up front. You know, she went out with a knee injury earlier in the season. So probably not what head coach Joe Kurt wants, but tournament time comes around, you know, things can really change. So they can make a run in the SEC tournament. They might put themselves in a good position to make the NCAA tournament. Right now, they're probably on the outside looking in, but they've had a tough schedule. So I don't blame them, but we'll see what happens when it comes to our Lady Vols. Hopefully we don't have two teams that miss playoff soccer one Knox and our Lady Vols, you know?
Yep. All right. Pivoting, spinning the globe over to Nashville, actually. The men's USA men are playing there on the 17th. Well, they're playing there right now. I'm like, what's happening right now? Anyways,
this is how busy we've been. We don't even know what's happening. We're like, wait, what's
happening? All right, I'll start over. All right, spinning the globe a little bit, going over to Nashville. As we record this, the USA men's team, Berhalter is back, baby, and Pulisic is on fire. They are playing Ghana right now. And coming off a loss to Germany. But yeah, just trying to get some reps back with Berhalter too.
That was tough, man. We went 1-0 up against Germany and then just blew it. You know, had three goals go against us, lost 3-1. I've obviously got three little kids, including one that is just 4 weeks old. And so I haven't been sleeping the best. And the other day I woke up in the middle of the night, I heard their phantom screams, you know? And in it, I had a dream that, I was having a nightmare that Greg Berhalter was the coach of the U.S. women's national team again. And I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, thank God. And then I realized, oh wait, no, he is the coach. He is the coach again.
Yep.
Cindy
yep.
Cohn, why did you do it? Berhalter is back. We'll see what happens. We've got friendlies, you know, right now, but we've got a big Copa America coming up in the summer. That's going to be played here on home soil with the U.S. participating. Argentina trying to defend its crown. I know I'll definitely be heading with my kids to go see one of those games. I don't know where it's going to be, but I told Haley, I was like, let's make a payment plan on that NICU bill. Student loans are back. I got a payment plan set up for that because I got to put some money aside so that we could go see Argentina and the USA play this summer. So
yep,
we'll see what
it's
happens.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. All right. Pivoting over to the USA women's, fire away here, Brian.
So, you know, U.S. women's national team also, man, it's so weird because usually they're so much better than the men, and they also had a bummer of a World Cup. We saw Vlatko Andonovski, the head coach, leave after going out in penalty kicks to Sweden in the second round. Oh my gosh, it was just awful. They put together kind of a farewell tour for Megan Rapinoe, who's retiring. We saw Julia Ertz also announce her retirement. They most recently got 3-0 and 2-0 wins against South Africa. So, you know, not the highest ranked opponent. And we got the youth national team with some Pan American games coming up and then some friendlies at the end of this month against Colombia on October 26th. Colombia, one of the surprise sides of the World Cup with Linda Caicedo scoring that game winner against Germany. What a phenomenal player. Who plays for Real Madrid in Spain. So we got that going on for the women's national team. And then we also have NWSL playoff season right now. Sydney LaRue got Angel City FC into the playoffs. That's Haley's favorite player, former, you know, a mom, fellow mom of two. We saw her play a couple of years ago for her anniversary when she was with Orlando Pride. She scored a freaking bicycle kick the other day. Incredible goal.
Incredible.
They had her son Cassius on camera, just like, you know, shocked out of his mind at what his mom just did. So we got playoffs happening for NWSL. Alex Morgan, she was asked on camera the other day about Taylor Swift because San Diego Wave won the regular season. They, you know, they have the, I guess what you would call the supporter shield. And in any other league in the world, you know, they won. But of course, in America, we have playoffs. And so they asked her about T Swift, and she was like, you know, when she's ready to see some real football, tell her to come over. She got an open invite to come see the San Diego Wave. So we'll
Which
see
if is we incredible. Get, oh my yeah, gosh.
We'll see. Apparently during the NWSL championship match, when it's currently scheduled for it, that is the bye week for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't know what people are calling
happen. It. It can yeah. happen.
I don't know if people swell see Kate. I don't know. I've been out of the loop and I also don't really care. Haley should have probably informed me about this before. I don't know what the nicknames are going out. T-Swift and Travis Kelce. But you know,
I'm going with Trailer.
Trailer. Very appropriate for Appalachia where we're currently recording this. Yeah, we'll see if we see Trailer out for the NWSL championship match.
That would be awesome. Spinning the globe a little bit, going over to the EPL. Arsenal tied top of the league with that other London club team, whatever. And coming away as victors over Man City most recently. So go Gunners.
Did I just hear you ring a gong? It sounded like you hit a gong in celebration.
It's my desk.
Oh, gosh, it must feel nice to have something positive to celebrate. Because on the other hand, I've got Everton, which, you know, I would have been glad to ignore them because so much has been happening in my life with my family. But, you know, I just like can't turn away. And so they had that dumpster fire of a match. Luton Town, which comes into the EPL. And I think they're the team with the lowest budget ever. And, you know, they had no money to spend on the transfer window. I think their like stadium is inside of somebody's house. You have to walk through somebody's house to get to the stadium. I think they've, you know, got like 2,000 seats and ticket holders, whatever. They come and get their first win of the season at Goodison Park to Everton, which is just terrible. But then ironically, you know, that Everton goes and wins 3-0 against Bournemouth. And that's like the one game where I was like, I'm done. I'm not watching. I have other priorities in my life. And I told Haley, I took the kids to the YMCA. And then she was like, hey, you know, they're winning right now, right? And I was like, so fortunately I got Peacock. I watched the highlights. So that was good. But, a game that I probably should not tune in for, when it comes to my mental health is the Derby, which is happening this weekend against Liverpool at Anfield. So we'll see what happens, but man, Everton's been a tough watch. I think they had their worst start ever to a season going, you know, five games without, winning. So they moved on in the Carling Cup, FA Cup, one of the cups. They're still in it. So that's good. They beat Aston Villa only because Dibu Martinez, the Argentina goalkeeper, was not playing in that game. So thank you, Robin Olsen, for letting us win that one. And yeah, I don't know what will happen in the league. Hopefully we don't get relegated, but you know.
There's a lot of season left. There's a lot of season left.
There is a lot of season left, Patty. Anything else you've been tuning in into?
So a couple of ones. I'm bringing them up right now. Second season of Welcome to Wrexham is out, and spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1, they move up. So they're out of fifth tier. They are in fourth tier now, which is actually the same league that John Green, a favorite author of mine, other than Brian Canavar and John Green, my favorite authors. John Green supports a club in that fourth league as well, AFC Wimbledon. So they'll be playing. So that's kind of like some star Hollywood, you know, power teams playing together. And then, Brian, have you heard of the Uno Reverso card in soccer or football?
The Uno, that sounds like the blue card in indoor soccer that you could get. It was like the penalty box card. Like it was like, I'm not going to give you a yellow, but you're getting a blue card. You're sitting on the sidelines 2 minutes.
right, exactly. It is very close to this. So we will link this in the show notes. It's incredible. So there is this YouTube prankster, British kid. His name's Max Fosh, and he was playing in a charity celebrity game. And there's a lot of other YouTubers on there. I think Mr. Beast was playing as well. Max's goal was to get a card from the ref and then pull out a Uno reverse card to the ref to give him the card. So he's just going, we'll link it. It's incredible. He's going around just like slicing everyone's knees off, and then he finally gets a yellow card and pulls a green Uno reverso card. It's incredible.
I love that. That reminds me. So I think I can't remember if it was for the testimonial match in Argentina for Juan Román Riquelme or for Maxi Rodriguez, but Messi played in both. That happened after the World Cup, and I think it might have been Riquelme at Boca Juniors, where they ended the match. The referee went to go do a VAR check, And, you know, for those who don't know, testimonial matches are basically friendlies to celebrate a player who's retiring or who recently retired. And the referee goes to do a VAR check and like they hand him a beer and he's drinking a beer on the sideline. He's like, all right, game's over. We're done. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a great way to end a game. Just like, let's get this over with. Somebody give me a beer.
Oh, also, I guess we'll get into final thoughts right now. I guess I have final notes. There's a couple of good soccer things to watch. Welcome to Wrexham is a great one. The Beckham documentary series is out on Netflix. Personally, my personal opinion of it is a docuseries to bolster inner Miami and to show you that Beckham is one of us and you should go support his club. But then also they do have on Apple Plus, I think 3 episodes of Messi coming to the MLS, yeah, which would be incredible to watch. That's next on in the queue.
I am by nature a skeptic and a cynic, which probably isn't good for my mental health. So I'm skeptical of all business related, things like that. I've also worked in PR for years. However, I guess we're a business. We just don't happen to really make money besides the faithful support of our good friend, Jeff Markman over at Markman's Diamonds and Hemant Sharma with Union Place and Union App Bars. But when I saw that David Beckham documentary come out, I was like, I wonder why this is being timed for right now. And I think I've been told by friends, whenever they tell me that I should watch it, I'm like, how many times does it take a shirt off? And it's only been female friends who have encouraged me to watch this, by the way. and they're like, not that often. I mean, only 10 times per episode. Mm-hmm. And so Haley's been watching it while I've been, dealing with the bigger kids. She's been watching it. She's enjoyed it. She doesn't know as much of the soccer history, like some of the rivalry between England and Argentina and the Sir Alex Ferguson stuff. So she's enjoyed it. And I haven't tuned into it yet. But
my wife was watching it while we were driving down to Florida for vacation. So I was able to hear it and whatnot. And it, as a storyteller and videographer and whatnot, it was pretty good. And then I feel like the last episode, they were like trying to figure out how to end it, how to land it on Inter Miami, buy a pink jersey cup, and it was a little rushed.
So Messi's on track to win his 8th Ballon d'Or. And, I think anybody who thought Messi was coming over here to MLS for like a serious challenge, I don't know how many of those people there are, but Messi's 36 years old. He's achieved everything there is to achieve. He wants to keep playing soccer because he loves playing soccer. Yep. He still kind of has that youthful spirit about him. He just enjoys having the ball at his feet. But, his priority is the national team. And so he gets injured and misses some critical games for Miami. They lose the Open Cup final and then they don't make playoffs. And then he goes to Argentina and he plays in the qualifier against Paraguay. Argentina is about to kick off against Peru in, 45 minutes from when we're recording, and he's due to start that game. I've seen some Miami fans on Twitter who are like, how could he do that? I thought he was hurt. I'm like, yeah, guys, look, you should just be grateful he showed up, man.
Absolutely.
Like, just be grateful he's here. Enjoy him while you can, even though he only plays. I think our good friend, faithful listener of the pod, Ben Bannister, he actually did make the mistake of flying out to see Miami against Orlando with his son, Brown, an Emerald youth player. And unfortunately, Messi, that's the game he went out injured in.
Oh, man.
In the first half. Ben. So, yeah, it's a bummer. But, I'm going to try to catch him if I can. Of course, Argentina is a priority for him. And so I just hope he makes it healthy through another Copa America. I'm curious to see what Messi does in the offseason. As everyone knows, in the U.S., our soccer seasons are in reverse to Europe. And so, does Messi take a huge break in the middle of the year and come back in March? His body probably needs it. But we've often seen players go and go on loan, including Beckham. Beckham.
Right, that was one of the things that was interesting to follow. He went –
To PSG and AC Milan.
Yeah, AC Milan was during LA Galaxy, and then PSG was after he retired from MLS. So on Facebook, I'm of course getting all of the different memes where it is rumored that Messi is going to go on loan to Barcelona to his boyhood club, that type of stuff. We'll see. So hey, ending a chit chat episode with Messi is not bad. Final thoughts, Brian, should I just wrap it up here?
Man, I think we've covered everything there is to cover. You know, we've changed up the approach to how we run these episodes. You know, we want to get our listeners an opportunity to just hear us more and form relationships with us. So we're going to have some cool things coming up in the near future. I'm excited for what we've got planned, Patty. So people keep listening, subscribe, share our episodes, you know, share our Substack link. We look forward to chatting about what's happening in the soccer world in Knoxville and beyond, as well as continuing to bring you some really awesome guests like, our, you know, Joe Kurt for the Lady Balls and Mark McKeever for One Knoxville pros like Tyler Gibson, who's still crushing it for Louisville City. And so we've got some great stuff planned. And that's all I got to say, because I am 45 Sweet. Minutes away from biting my nails through a gosh. World Cup qualifier.
Yep. So dear listener, that's all we got for you for the Knox Soccer Podcast. If you enjoyed this show, like Brian said, be sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter at Knox Soccer Podcast. Follow us on the socials. And we're doing this talking head style. I think we might even try to do a live show like this next. So if you're keen for that, show us some love. Send us a DM. Put a comment. Reply back to this email that you get. So yeah, with that, we are done and dusted. And it feels great to be back in the studio with you, Brian, and talking some soccer.
I second that, Patty. It's been good to reconnect. We'll pump out a couple more of these episodes before, you know, you've got another kid to join the gang. We'll have by the start of the One Knoxville season, we will collectively have four children.
So. Yeah, it's going to be great. All right. With that one, we'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Hasta luego.